Today, as I continue mothering from the message the Lord placed on my heart some time ago, write down, if you would, in the assigned place. In the assigned place. Amen. And so in this assigned place, how many of you know that it's this assigned place that we're in today that we won't always find ourselves in throughout the rest of our lives? Amen. This is one assigned place, but somebody say, this is not my final destination. Anybody can attest to the fact of that? Anybody realize that this wasn't your first destination? There were other assigned places, come on, that God calls you to go through, watch this, to get you to this assigned place. And so what we find ourselves having to do is celebrate all of the assigned places that God has caused us to travel and celebrate and embrace the assigned place that he has us now. That's a good place for a hand clap. That's a good place for a hand clap. God loves it when he sees his sons and his daughters celebrating what he's doing in our lives and understanding that. How many of you know he's not done yet? He's not done yet. So last week, through Ruth and Naomi, we realized that being with the people that God has assigned to our lives, it can and it will ensure that we make it to the assigned place at the assigned time. You all were blessed last week. Amen. I bless God for all of the appreciation and all of the love and all of the thanks that was extended my way from the word. But how many of you know God moves in various ways? Last Sunday was just one of the many ways that God wants to move in our lives and in our ministry. But God moves through various people. Come on, I'm mothering somebody. Somebody think he's only moving through Apostle C and Pastor V. Let me just silence the voice of the enemy right now. Look at your neighbor. God can move and will move through him and through her if we just have an open ear and a heart to receive. Come on. Well, look at yourself. Come on. People prejudge you. I love it when people prejudge me. I walk in a room and I, oh, Lord, she one of them. Yeah, I'm one of them. Anointed. Come on. Holy Ghost filled. Don't play with the enemy. You mess with me. Come on. I will command. Come on. Activity in the spirit realm. Come on. I love setting the atmosphere before I make it to a room because I already know the prejudgmental spirits that's going to be there when they see the high heels, when they see the hair, when they see the makeup, when they see the nails. But somebody say, God can and will use me. Yeah, with the big hair, the little hair, the high heel, the low heel, no makeup, makeup. Who cares about all of that? See, that's why Samuel told David, God told Samuel, man is looking at the outward appearance of man. I don't look at the outward appearance. I look at the heart. Somebody say, what is the condition of your heart? When our heart is bent towards the things of God, that's what gives us the power and the authority and the anointing that we need to walk in. Deacon Celia, can you just attest to that? Amen. Hallelujah. So with Ruth and Naomi on last week, we saw that God used Naomi to get Ruth to her assigned place. Somebody said at the right time. Because she reaped the full blessings and promises of God to the fact where we see how her and Boaz, everybody waiting for their Boaz? Well, when Ruth and Boaz had a baby, they named him Obed, and Obed and his wife, they birthed Jesse, and Jesse and his wife, they birthed David. And that is how we see the lineage of Christ, come on, in a woman who was obedient and following her Naomi. Anybody following their Naomi today in the promises and into the full blessings of God? So there's a teaching that the Lord would have us to understand about being in the assigned place that will not only keep and preserve us, but prepare us for the days ahead. Anyone want to be prepared? When you tap into your next assigned place, you don't want to be all shaken and all nervous and confused and worried about why am I here? You want to go into your next assigned place, come on, with the peace of God, the power of God, knowing that the provision of God is going to be released in that place. Anybody other than me want to receive that? Amen. So the assigned place, yes, it's a practical yet prophetic place where at the ordained time, God releases his blessings and manifests his promises over each and every last one of our lives. I share that it's a practical place because somebody say, all we have to do is practice what we preach to our children and those we mentor. That's all we have to do. We have to practice being willing to submit to God first, but also to the leaders in authority. Amen. Nothing like telling our children or those we mentor, Look, how many of you said this? If you just do what not I say do, but the God in me tell you to do. If you just do what I say do, everything will be all right. Because you know that you're hearing from God, and you know he's giving you divine instruction for that child. Come on. And we tell them, just do what I say do. Anybody, just do what I say do. You don't have to question. You don't have to wonder why. Because like Naomi said, you can trust the God in me. And so God is saying the same thing to us, grown folk. Somebody shout, grown folk. We're still his children. Isn't it amazing that we're grown, but yet we're in the eyes of man, but we are a child in the eyes of God? And all he's saying is, baby, just do what I tell you to do, and everything will be all right. Somebody's here with me. I praise God for you. I love you. I love you. And so when we do what God is telling us to do, we hear him saying, do what I'm telling you to do because I'm taking you to assigned places. I'm doing things. I'm releasing blessings, not just at the state of mediocrity, but I'm releasing abundant blessings and provisions that will be, watch this, not only enough for you, but enough for you to be a blessing to the nations. Thank you, because the nations is what's on the heart of God. Can I say this? RCC is not the only ministry that's on the heart of God. There are churches all over the world. They're not the building. I'm talking churches. Come on, somebody. I'm talking churches. I'm talking people. I'm talking ethnic groups. I'm talking the nations. There are nations that's on the heart of God that we don't reach. But how many of you know when we reach them, then they're able to plant churches. They're able to provide the word of God. Come on. They're able. Everybody don't have electronic devices. Some people need the written word of God. Some people need the spoken word of God. And so that's why you find a house like RCC that's serious about sowing into the nations. Give God praise for that. So we see and we hear God saying that he has assigned people, willing and obedient vessels that we must submit to and follow in order to tap into the full blessings and promises of God. Can I say, if God says in Jeremiah 3:17 that I'll give you pastors after my own heart that will lead, and some versions say feed you with understanding and knowledge, then all the pastors in the pulpit have not gone bad. I will say that anything that God creates, it is the enemy's number one goal, huh, to come in. I don't care where that place is. That place could be in your house. It could be in your job. It could be in the four walls of the church. It don't matter. Satan, it doesn't have any respect of person, places, or things. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy any and everything and everybody that he can get his hands on. This podium right here, I hate to tell you, it's just a piece of acrylic with a logo on top. It is not the power, and it is not the Spirit of God. The power and the Spirit of God is in the man and the woman of God that stands behind this piece of acrylic. So if Satan will come after marriages and he'll come after children, come on, he'll come after the corrupt minds of the people in the earth realm. That's why we call them masterminds, because Satan comes into the mind of man and of woman and he causes them to strategically master how to kill, steal, and destroy. Because you know if anything's going to be accomplished in the earth realm, you know that God is going to use a willing and obedient vessel, and so is Satan. He's going to use a willing and an obedient vessel to carry out his assignment, just like God. Somebody say God is going to use a willing and an obedient vessel to carry out his assignment in the earth realm. Amen? So let me say this. No matter where we go, can I teach a little bit? I'm going to calm it down, head elder. Told Apostle Charlie I wasn't going to sweat today, but when the Lord take over, you end up not saying your words, but you end up saying his words. Because I want your heart to be transformed on today. I don't want you to come in and hear a good sermon, but I want you to receive a prophetic word of the Lord that will change and transform not just you and your today generation, but a word that you'll go back, regurgitate into the lives of your children, your grandchildren, your unborn great-great-grandchildren that aren't even here yet. I want you to speak some things in the atmosphere. I want you to open up the heavens, and I want you to release generational blessings over your future generations. Give God praise for that. So it doesn't matter where we go or what we do. If we're submitted to God, we will always find ourselves having to submit to the people that he has assigned to our lives. Amen. And we have to submit because these are the people who will get us what God has in need or desire us to have. Is the people who are assigned to our life that God will use to get us where he needs us to be. I recall God using people over my life to open up supernatural doors for me and Apostle C to walk in. Isn't that something? And then out of nowhere, the people who opened up the door, they got home. Anybody been there? We're talking about he'll do that in church where we look around and the person who invited us here nowhere to be found. He'll do that in the workplace. Come on, we're elevated and we're promoted, and the man and the woman of God who he used, we look around and somebody say they're nowhere to be found. So are you ready for this? This is an assigned person alert, all right? That person was only assigned by God to get you where he needed you to be and to get you what he needed you to have in your assigned place after his or her assignment was up. God removed them and sent them on another. And that is what we have to wrap our spirit around. We think we're assigned to the church. We're assigned to the man and woman of God. We're assigned to the colleagues and the co-workers for life. No, we're only assigned until our assignment is complete. Somebody, you ever felt stuck? You ever felt like, man, I'm stuck. I can't go nowhere. I can't do anything. And you're like, I'm not receiving the blessings that I see everybody else receiving. Come on, how come they walking in the promises and I'm not? Well, I dare to announce to you that it could be that when God releases the blessing and the promises over you at this assigned place, you so focused on somebody else's assignment that the blessings are falling, but you're not there to receive. V, why they gotta sing that song? Babe, that's not your assignment, that's his. Oh, why they gotta preach from that text? That's not your assignment, that's mine. Why they gotta stand there when they usher, when they greet? That's not your assignment, that's Noreen's assignment. Well, why they gotta duplicate the CDs this way? That's not your assignment, that's Mother Bev's assignment. But if we would ever stay focused, come on, that's the disciplined disciple. If we could ever stay focused on the assignment that God has given us in this assigned place, then when he releases his blessings, we'll be in place to receive them. Somebody's catching this. You want to know the ones that's receiving the blessings in their assigned place and carrying out their assignment? It's the one who got a smile on their face. It's the one who said, I don't care what y'all say. You can talk about me all you want to. You can call me everything but a child of God. You can call me henpecked. You can call me sucking up and kissing up. It don't matter what you say, baby, because I'm in my assigned place, and you and nobody else is going to move me, because when the blessings of God start to fall, I decree I'm going to be there to receive them all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so we thank God that we're submitted. Amen. So just put your hands together and celebrate the fact that you're in your assigned place. You're going to let the praise team handle the songs. You're going to let Michelle handle and James and Vanessa and Elaine handle the music and the keys and the notes. And I come to decree over this house that nobody's perfect. There's nothing perfect but a perfect peace. A perfect peace in knowing that I'm in the place that God has assigned me to be in the season he assigned me to be there. But there's no perfect note. There's no perfect sermon. There's no perfect position you're supposed to be standing in the room. Wherever you stand, well, you right there, Coleman, where you stand, you, it may not be the right place for you to be, but if you're at perfect peace standing there, then it's the assigned place that God has for you during this service. And I decree you're going to receive some blessings before it's all said and done. Doors that's been shut for you, Coleman, because you're in your assigned place right there, God is going to release them, and you're going to find yourself receiving them and running with the testimony of the Lord. Lord, give God praise. You better get ready. Whatever's been held up and delayed, God is releasing it to you in that assigned place. And so it is with each of us here. And in this assigned place, we practice being obedient to his word. Amen. And so we already know that Deuteronomy 28 outlines the blessings for obedience, but it also outlines several curses for those who choose to do what? Disobey the word of the Lord. So how many of you know obedience and disobedience is a choice? It's a choice, amen? And somebody shout, the choice is mine. So in Isaiah 1 and 19, if you write that down, it says, if we are willing and obedient, there it is, we shall what? Eat the good of the land. So that tells us that there are still some goods in the land to be eaten. Isn't that good? So the promised land has milk and honey. Milk being the substance, come on, but honey is the sweet stuff. There's still some goods in the land to be eaten and enjoyed on our part. And I don't know about you, but I want all of mine. Amen. I want to be so blessed that when I give, my cup is running over and the Amos household don't even feel the impact of my giving. Anybody want to be there? Come on, the bill's still being paid. The savings and the investments are still going forth. And what I give is the cup running over. It's the stuff that was about to hit the saucer. But how many of you know God is commanding us to release those seeds into the nations? Because there's a word in them, amen, that the enemy is trying to suppress, and God is going to use us. Didn't we say that if he's going to use anything or anybody, he's going to use us to release it? I decree there's a word that Karen Wynn has that's going to shake the foundation of a woman's world. We're going to think we're doing things so righteous and so holy, and when she releases a word, I guarantee you it's going to literally move us into the things and the pleasures of God, and it's going to cause us to be blessed like we've never been blessed before. God's going to put Karen Wynn on our heart, and when we get ready to go buy another pocketbook, God's going to say, take that pocketbook money and seed it into the nations, seed it into a woman of God that I have not told you about, but I have shown you she has something that you can be blessed by. Let me get back over here. So there are still some goods in the land. And it says, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. And since none of us want to be cut off from the blessings and the promises of God, the text goes on to say, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So this tells us we need to listen, somebody shout, and obey. And so this assigned place is also a prophetic place because God already knows where he needs us to be in the natural and the spiritual to receive all that he has in store for us. So we said last week, we all suited up and looking good, but what's the condition of the heart? Amen. We already lifted up Samuel when God told him concerning David's brother, not him, he's not the one. See, you think he looked good, he got a little muscle here, a little, you know what I'm saying? She got a little, no, uh-uh. God's not looking at the outer appearance. God is looking at the heart. And so what he see with David is that David was the one that would be anointed as the next great king. But how many of you know that we can be in the right place with the wrong heart and it'll delay and deny us the promises and the blessings of God? Sure, we can be in church serving and we can be in the community and we can be helping the homeless. We can even be taking care of the widows. We can be carrying out assignments. Come on. But if we're murmuring and complaining, come on, it's going to hold up, delay, and deny us the promises of God. Somebody just shout, shut it down. Shut it down. Mama them used to say, if you ain't got nothing good to say, we need to go back to mama teachings. Because there'd be a whole lot of us with our mouth shut. Because the murmuring and the complaining that we find ourselves, the critiquing and the criticizing and the condemning, come on, the judging. I talked about the judging. If those people would just say, if I ain't got nothing nice to say about Pastor Vicky, let me just shut my mouth and don't say nothing at all. And I'm going to talk about the way she, let me just shut my mouth. because people are judging, but they have no heart, no passion, no intent, and no desire whatsoever in their heart to pitch in and help anyone with anything. They in the right place, but with the wrong heart. And so now you begin to see in the ministries and on the job, even today coming in, we have to ask ourselves, and that's why I said this is going to be a message for our heart. How many of us come in each morning before service and leave each afternoon after service and never usher? We never ask to greet. We never ask to serve at the resource table where we know mission seeds are being released. Man, if I had the opportunity, I'd be put me there so I can call everybody that's trying to egg their way to the left to get out the door. I can command them in the name of Jesus, touch their heart so that they can come over here and sow into the missions fund of RCC. And I believe folk could be doing a double take. See, y'all got to catch what I just said. See, we shift and we adjust things in the spirit realm and they manifest in the natural. Kids that want to come home and act the fool, we can shift the atmosphere of our house and they'll come in and get ready to say something. And all of a sudden, they're like, I don't want to say that no more. Mama, how you doing? We can go into the workplace and shift the atmosphere when they want to say, heck no, you ain't taking that day off. They'll say, baby, take as many days off as you want because I love, I honor, I respect your work ethic. I'm talking about shifting things in the natural for a manifestation. And so this has to sink in, and we have to understand that David was found in his father's field. Watch this. Taking care of his father's sheep. They weren't even his sheep. They were his father's sheep. And this is where he was when David came with the word of the Lord and anointed him for his next great assignment. It's also possible, write this down, to be in the right place with the wrong heart. And we can also be in the right place with the wrong heart. Amen. Write that down. Y'all, I just got that all mixed up. Write this one down. We can also have the right heart and be in the wrong place. Because I just showed you how we could be in the right place with the wrong heart. So what about having the right heart and being in the wrong place, okay? And so now you find your heart aching because deep, deep down inside, you know that the full blessing and promise of God can't be released by what you see, what you hear, and what you encounter in that place. But your heart is pure as gold. Your heart represents the heart of God. And in this place, let me give you a few examples. You ever been in a ministry where the deacon board has the pastor hands tied? Was that one of your assigned places? Raise your hand. I need to see you. Because that was one of me and Apostle Charlie's assigned places where we had a heart pure as gold, but we were in the wrong place for the next season of our life. But we saw some things. We heard some things. We witnessed some things that, what, opened us up to receive the next place. Come on, where the man of God hands wasn't tied by the deacon board. Okay? You ever been in a place where your heart was pure as gold and you knew the blessings couldn't flow because the trustee board was holding up the vision? I'm going to say it. I had to take a drink on that one. The man and the woman of God's vision was held up because of the trustee board who managed the finances of the church. So they tell you what to do and what not to do with the church's money. Since when did the money become yours to tell the man and woman of God who hears from him? When he gets a vision to do a thing, that you shut down the resources or the provision needed to carry out the vision. Come on, but your heart pure as gold and is aching because you know deep down inside. How in the world can the blessings and the promises of God be released in a place like this where the vision is shut down? And then we understand that it has to be what? Presented and approved, or in most cases disapproved, because it's all about the power struggle. Who got the most power in the church? Come on, who's got the most control in the church? And when we deal with that ministry, our heart is vexed because it's a ministry that's people-centered, people people control and people rule, but that's a democracy. How many of you know that's why your heart is so aching and frustrated by what you see with the governmental system of the United States of America? Because it's not God-centered, it's not God-controlled, it's not God-ruled, it's a democracy. And when we know that God speaks to the president, there are certain things that he's supposed to carry out, but it's got to go through all of these different houses of representatives at Congress meetings, and then by the time it gets to where it needs to be, it's been stamped denied. And so now the country stays in a place of stagnation and never move into things of God. Why on the dollar bill does it say, in God we trust? Because we got to get back to the foundation. We got to get back to the one who labeled every piece of money with the three, in God we trust. We got to get back to a nation that trusts God. And so we can be in the wrong place and have the right heart, and the blessings still don't manifest the way that they're supposed to. And so with God releasing all of these blessings in that assigned place, the question is, will we be there in that assigned place with the right heart? Somebody lay hands on your heart. Come on, y'all, relax. Ah. Will we be in that place with the right heart, ready to receive the blessings and the promises that God, how many of you know that heart, man, that heart? Jeremiah said this way, the heart is desperately wicked. Come on, above all things, come on, deceitful. But who would know it? You don't know the condition of my heart standing here at this pulpit. I don't know the condition of your heart, but thank God he knows all. And that's why he can purge and he can cleanse and he can bring healing to your heart simply through, somebody say, the blood of Jesus. So let the blood do his work this morning. Amen. Let the blood, the power of his blood, let it do what it's supposed to do this morning. Somebody say, cleanse me, heal me. Somebody just say it. Cause me to forgive. Say, remove the resentment. Remove the bitterness in Jesus' name. Let me love all people. Let me owe no man nothing but to love them. Let me stop putting my place in a place of removing myself from the blessings and the promises of God. Somebody just say, Lord, deal with my heart. Yeah, he left you. Yeah, she walked out on you. Yeah, they committed sin and fornication and adultery against you. But that's okay. You don't have to hold that for life, because it's holding you back from the right heart that you need to receive. Somebody say, the blessings of God. So as we deal with even part two on today, I lifted up last week 1 Samuel 16. Write that down. Make sure you get the CD if you haven't already. And that's how you know those that are truly connected, that weren't even sitting in the seat, they still messaged the mother and said, thank you for that word. I received it. Because the teaching of the house is, whether you're here or not, you're still accountable for what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us. Amen. And so we talked about how David was in his assigned place in his father's field, taking care of his father's sheep, when the prophet Samuel arrived to anoint him as the next great king of Israel. Write this down. The assigned place is where you find yourself putting time in and taking care of another man's vision as if it's your own. And I say this because even before we fully tap into the full understanding or magnitude of our anointing, can I say this? Everyone in this room has your own specific, unique anointing. David did. But before he could tap into the full magnitude of his anointing, he found himself in another man's field taking care of his sheep as if they were his own. That should tell us that this is what God is using as a measuring tool as to whether or not we're truly ready to be graced and anointed for our next assignment. Where are you in this assignment? That's what God is looking for. And so when you see this, you begin to see that we must walk in accordance to Luke 16 and 12. Write that down. We have to understand, according to this verse, that we must first be faithful over that which belongs to another man in order for God to give us property, to give us territory, even to give us vision of our own. Amen? And so I want us to look at 1 Samuel 17 and 33 as well. Amen. Because we love you, we find David confronted by the Philistine named Goliath. You remember that story, David and Goliath? Everybody remember that story, right? Well, how about when David was asked in this text, How do you know you can take down Goliath? Now, mind you, Goliath stood umpteen feet taller than David. So, and you know what, David was like, you know, a shrimp, a little tiny shrimp. David was like a shrimp in the eyes of this big Philistine. Now, oh my God, y'all know what, shrimp, you can just stomp on and be done. But in this text, we see through verse 36 that David responded, while I was in my father's field, taking care of my father's sheep as if they were my own. Watch what he says. In that field, I slew a lion and a bear, and this Philistine shall be as one of them. So with this, I see, my God, I see the confidence of David. I see him standing before the huge Philistine, confident that if I slew a lion and a bear while I was training in my father's field, then I know I can slay this huge Philistine that's standing before you. So I have a question. How much confidence do you have in the huge vision that God has set before you? Have you been trained? Have you been sharpened? Have you been delivered? Have you been developed in your father's field? Come on, taking care of your father's sheep, knowing that I know I can handle any vision that comes before me, no matter how big. And don't you know some of the things God tell us seem so big, they seem beyond our ability to wrap our arms around, but there's nothing, somebody say, nothing too big for God. But what happens is a lot of leaders, they uproot and they remove themselves from the father's field whenever offense settle in. Well, guess what? You're gonna get offended out there. Why do people leave the hospital when they hurting? When I thought the hospital was the place people supposed to come to be healed. Well, the church is nothing less or more than a hospital. So we leave our assigned place at the hospital and we go out amongst the wolves and we're ripped and torn apart instead of learning how to handle offense in the church, learning how to forgive in the church. I love it when people cross me the wrong way, and I've seen it and it's happened to me many a time, and I go home and say, well, the church isn't where it's supposed to happen. And the Holy Spirit beat me up and said, no, baby, the church is where it's supposed to happen, because you need to go back and be healed and learn how to forgive and learn how to handle your offense, because when it comes in the next assigned place that I'm calling you to, you will have already been trained, groomed, and developed right there in the church. Y'all got to minister to these people who's leaving the church out of offense. Because you got to tell them you're not running away from offense. You're running away from the hospital that's assigned to heal you of that offense. And encourage them to come back and be healed. Because how many of you know, if the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, how many of you know that he's waiting for those wounded sheep so that he can just pour a little bit more alcohol on it and cause that wound that they have to really burn and scorch and cause them to what? Experience a spiritual death. Somebody say, bring them back to the church. Encourage them back to the church. And so write this down. In the assigned place you find yourself, I love it, defending and protecting the sheep in your father's field. We're going to deal with that. We're going to have a little fun now, all right? Last week was all serious and ooh-wee, all of this and all of that, but we're going to have fun because I know that there are some sons and daughters and leaders that's assigned to us, Carmen, that'll pull them earrings off, kick them. You talk about my man, you did what? You talk about my man and woman of God. You talking about the sheep that my man and woman of God is taking care of. You're criticizing and you're critiquing and you're, come on, you got nothing good to say. Hold on, let me just take this off right here because this is going to hold me back from what I got to say to you. I don't want you to prejudge me by what you see on the outside, because out of my heart, I'm going to defend, I'm going to protect my man and woman of God, the sheep, the product. Come on, I'm even talking about ministry in the workplace. Come on, y'all people stealing ink pens and taking notes. Passing. They doing it in front of you, and you ain't got enough boldness, enough gall to say, you need to put that back. You need to stop that foolishness. How are you going to steal from man and woman and expect to be blessed of God? I need some bold believers. Come on. We let any and everything go, but that's why I said thank God for the assigned places that we have gone through, because they will teach you how to shut that foolishness down. And so in our Father's field, we defend and we protect them from the fierce and the subtle attacks of the enemy. Some enemies are so fierce, and I say this because David said he slew a lion and a bear. So some enemies that come into our presence are bold as a lion. Come on, y'all. They come with the biggest mouth, the most opinions, and they got more insight about everything that needs to be done in your assigned place and how it needs to be done. Come on, let the bold as a lion. And come, when people come, they don't even think about what they're going to say before they open up their mouth and speak. That's a bold as a lion, and I decree we need to be as David and slay that lion. Put that lion in its proper place. Release and decree the spirit of silence and submission to over that lion. That's just me. Is that anybody else? They bold as a lion. But how many of you know that with the grace and the anointing that's on our lives, ooh, we got enough power to shut the mouth of the lion? I believe that's what David did in his father's field. Come on, he shut the mouth of the lion, and that's why the father's sheep didn't go harmed. Amen. While they were under, somebody say, David's care. Come on, what's the condition of the sheep that's under your care? Are you letting people hurt and harm and just openly offend them? Or are you shutting the mouth of the lion and protecting the sheep in your father's field? Watch this. Some lions are subtle. That's why I said David slew the lion and the bear. Think about a bear. Some enemies will sneak up on you just like a bear. You know, you look up and there's the bear. Where in the world did you come from? You don't even hear them coming. Because they so smooth in the way they move, but they the hugest animal, but they just so sneaky and so subtle in their walk. And so some enemies are sitting, observing, and spectating, let alone monitoring. Come on. And then there it is. Out of the abundance of their heart, their mouth starts speaking. This isn't going to work. That's a bad idea. If we do that, it's going to backfire. Watch, ain't nobody going to show up. Watch, ain't nobody going to be on time. I come to decree that enemy is a liar. That subtle, quiet, observing, spectating spirit of the enemy is a liar in this house, because in the assigned place, we don't allow anyone with the wrong heart or the wrong spirit or the wrong motive to come in and risk endangering the sheep. Come on, the people and the product that we are assigned to protect and take care of. Give God praise. Come on, not even with their words. Because how many of you know life and death is in the power of the tongue? Why is it that people think they can say and do any old thing when they come into our presence? I remember in corporate America, there was a coworker that I had that would just slander and backbite the boss all day long. And finally, one day, I pulled her aside. I said, come here, Helen. Come here. I said, look, I want the full blessings of God, not just over my life. I'm in a season where I want the whole department to be blessed. I said, you're holding up the blessings of this department because of the words that you are speaking. They're slanderous. They're backbiting. They're negative. And you're shutting the heavens over this department being blessed. Thank God she heard and she received and she corrected her behavior. Because I'm here to tell y'all, as soon as she got in line with what the Spirit and the voice of God was saying, our department started experiencing supernatural blessings, promotions, increases, and abundance. I mean, flexibility that we never had before. We started coming and going like it was nothing, but it took, come on, the power of agreement. Y'all got to get this, the power of agreement. Anything or anybody that you see that comes up into disagreement with what the word of the Lord is speaking, be it through the pulpit, be it through you, then that is going to cause a dissension in that environment. Somebody shout the power of agreement. And so with that, we begin to see that we have to have a heart-to-heart with some people. Anybody need to have a heart-to-heart with somebody? Come on. That's just walking in total disobedience to what you know that you're telling them, that the Lord is telling you to tell them, and they just shutting it down, and they're not receiving the blessings of God. Just have somebody say a heart-to-heart discussion with them. And a heart-to-heart discussion is a very positive approach to take. Amen. Because out of the abundance of the heart, somebody shout, the mouth will speak. Amen. And if God's going to use anybody, he's going to use you. Amen. He's going to use me. So now you see why in this house, we're okay when leaders with the wrong heart choose to leave the ministry. When their heart is wrong, it's okay, because they could, in a sense, be holding back the full blessings that God desires to release over this ministry, because there's power in agreement. Disobedience is a choice, amen? And so when you look at who's holding up your blessings and needing to have a heart-to-heart discussion with them, you're not coming at them to abuse them. You're coming at them to what? Comfort them and bring them into the right place that they need to be in this season of their life, amen? Write this down. In the assigned place, you don't allow anyone else to put their mouth or their hand on your man and woman of God. Write that down. And in this, you begin to see that it's dangerous and even deadly when people come up against authority. That's why you don't want them coming up against your boss at work, your director of the organization, your pastors in the church. 1 Chronicles 16 and 22 says, "Touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm." So how many of you know God takes it personal when we come up against authority? He takes it personal. I don't care what arena you're looking at, God takes it personal. Pastor Henry even ministered on that. So in 1 Samuel 24 and 1 Samuel 26, watch this. We see David sparing Saul's life time and time again. And you all know that David, in all of his wisdom, he knew not to put his hand or his mouth on Saul. He spared Saul's life time and time again. We're talking about Saul, the one who became so jealous of David. Right after David slew Goliath, the women began to sing, "Saul has slain thousands, David his 10,000s. Come on, right then and right there, the scripture in 1 Samuel 18:7 says that Saul developed a jealous eye and watched David and plotted in his heart to kill David. But let me say this, don't you know that people who don't know better will always say or make you feel jealous of someone else in the field? They'll try to make you jealous of us if they don't know better. They'll say something to try to make us jealous of you. And so when you begin to look at having that jealous spirit, David, in the midst of Saul's jealousy and desire to kill him, David stood over Saul with the sword and still spared his life. Come on, David still spared Saul's life, the one who was out to kill him. David, an innocent man. How many of you feel innocent when you feel people launching their attacks at you? And you're like, what did I do? Where did I go wrong? You didn't do anything and you didn't go wrong. That's the spirit of jealousy that will try to come into the field to separate and cause a divide. And so here we are where Saul ultimately takes his own life in 1 Samuel 31 and 1. And this is after the Philistines fought against the Israelites. They ended up killing Saul's son. And watch this, they critically wounded Saul, King Saul himself. Now I thought, as I read that text, man, the Israelites were defeated by the Philistines. Well, the Philistine is the one that David was trained, groomed, and developed to take down. Isn't it too bad that Saul allowed jealousy to come in his heart, because he sure could have used David right then and there? Come on, there are people that God has assigned to your life that if you're not careful, you'll develop a jealous eye. That's why Hebrews 13 and 7 says, remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Watch this. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Come on, imitate. Don't imitate what they wear. Don't imitate what they do. Don't even imitate the anointing that's on their life. It says imitate their faith. You imitate their faith because you see them walking in power. You see them walking in the grace. You see them walking in meekness and humility, because we have faith in God that there's nothing impossible that we can't do. If he said we're going to do it, then he's casting the vision and he's going to release the provision. And sometimes that provision are the men and the women, the sons and the daughters that's assigned to us. But when jealousy comes in, it separates us from those that he has assigned to walk with us. It separates us from those that's assigned to carry us into these blessings. Somebody say, no jealousy. Not in this house, amen. And if it is, I believe we're squishing it. Because had David just kept his open heart towards David, I believe that David would have dropped everything he was doing. At the call of King Saul, David, I need you. I believe that David would have stopped whatever he was doing, because in the prior text above King Saul's sons being killed and him being critically injured, I saw David fighting the Amalekites. And it said that whatever he did, wherever he went, he was tearing it up. He was taking territory. Come on. He was operating in the strength of his ministry. But in the church and in the ministry today, in the workplace today, when we see somebody walking in that full rank, walking in that full authority, we begin to get jealous and we back away from them. But I decree, there anybody that can stand with me on a day, that when I see your grace, when I see your anointing, when I see the power, when I see the warfare, when I see the revelation, when I see the prophetic grace and anointing over your life, instead of pulling away, I'm going to bring you closer. I'm going to call you, come where I am, because I don't know where I'm going in my next assignment. Right now, I'm here receiving the blessings, and I see you operating in the strength of your ministry, the strength of your anointing. Instead of saying, I don't need you, go somewhere, I'm going to say, no, come with me, because something tells me when I go straight and turn that corner, there are some enemies, there are some Philistines, there are some huge giants that's waiting for me, David, and I might not be able to conquer them by myself, but I know the power that you're walking in. Watch this. I'm not going to just command you to be submitted to me, David, but when I come into a land, because I want to preserve my children, because I want to preserve my life, because I want to preserve the vision, I'm going to put you before me, David, and I'm going to allow you to do what only you can do, to carry out the grace and the anointing that only you can carry out. Oh, somebody catching me on this. Even though that may not have been the way the story ended there, I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying, for us to go where we need to go, Apostle C and I, in this next season, that's the way our story is going to end. We're going to call the Davids back. I didn't say Davida. I didn't say Danita. I said we're going to call the Davids back. The Davids, the man of God that's skilled, groomed in spiritual warfare. Come on, I told y'all before, I'm going to tell you again, I was a hot mess 20-some years ago. But that warrior, come on, that David stood up over that jealous spirit, Deacon Ann, that was rising up in me, causing me to separate myself from the women of God. What we saw last week was a manifestation of a vision I had, where he showed me the daughters reconnecting back to my heart, because I have passed the test. I completed my assignment. I got rid of that jealous spirit that would rest on the inside of me, that would cause me to have a jealous eye if your grace or your anointing, your prophetic edge was greater than mine. I now call my daughters forth, and don't stand behind me, stand beside me, because where we're going together in Jesus' name. But if we forsake the Davids, David saw something that I didn't see in myself. That's why we call Davids the husbands, the men of God. We call you the head of the house, because everything that's up under you is subject to your anointing. Come on, everything under you must bow down and submit to the power of God and the skilled warfare that you're operating in. You don't let things come in and go out unnoticed, David. You, come on, David, where you at? You arise to the occasion. Can I get my Davids to just stand to your feet? You arise to the occasion. Just like women can get caught up in the dress and the attire, men and David can get caught up, all suited up, but no power, no authority, and letting the woman, next week we're going to deal with it, letting the woman come in with the power of persuasion to move not just you from your assigned place, because if you move, she going to move, the kids are going to move, and everything connected to you going to move. But that devil is a liar. That Goliath is about to come down. You're going to stay in that place until God says otherwise. And if anything in the house don't look right, don't smell right, don't act right, don't talk right, come on, the power of persuasion even must submit to you. Keep on living. Keep on living. That's why we see with Job and his wife, she just said, You still celebrating God? Just curse him and die. And David said, yeah, I love you, baby, but you're talking like a foolish woman right now. For God we live, for God we move, and for God we have our being. I shall never curse the living God. And so in this field, David, I speak to the Davids. Can you stay in your assigned place when not only do your brothers forget that you're there, but it seems like your mom and daddy forget you there? Can you stay in that place when it seems like nobody's complimenting you? Can you just compliment yourself in the presence of God? Come on, in that assigned place when nobody comes by, you find yourself, oh my God, laboring in daddy's field. Come on, giving him all you got, doing everything that he would do with the same grace and the same anointing, but nobody comes by to say thank you. Can you still labor when it looks like your brothers have forgotten about you and your mother and your father don't know you're there? It seems, because seem is the key word. We haven't forgotten about you. You're not doing it for us. It's only a test to say, if I stop noticing you, will you still do it for the one who matters? Will you still do it because you know the reward is coming from him and not us? Come on, our fruit baskets don't do anything in comparison to the awards and the rewards that God has in store for you. Come on, I speak that in the spirit realm. David, just lift up your hands, because it's so easy for men and women to speak and allow jealousy to come into the man of God's heart, allow offense to come into your heart. And I dare to say that you are the first line of defense. So you're going to be the first one that's going to be attacked in the Father's field. Go with me, Michelle. You're going to be the first one to be attacked in your father's field. But we decree that even from this day forward, that you, even as you lift your hands, lift them as high as you can lift them, that your grace, your mercy, your power, and your authority doesn't come from us. It comes from God. And I speak that as your heart is turned and restored to the power of the living God, you shall be equipped and you shall be elevated from the field and the vision of your father into the field and the vision that God has given you in your household. In Jesus' name, just let the purging power of the Spirit of God restore your heart in Jesus' name.